Genesis 1:1. The name that we're going to be looking at is, I'm going to say it's an unusual name in the sense that if you go over to a concordance, or you probably won't find it. It's got their various forms, but Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, it's got various forms, but Elohim itself is not actually there. Now it's translated Elohim in the Hebrew. One of the things that I've discovered in studying this is that I don't know that I can give adequate credit for all that it contains and all that it means. So if I fall a little bit short, I apologize from the very beginning. Elohim. In the beginning, God. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting word in a sense that it is a plural word. But yet it has the essence of a singularity. It's called a uniplurality, a single unit comprising of several parts. I don't know about you, but last week on Lord's Day, we had cake. Now, I didn't have a cake. I had a piece of cake. One cake, but it was cut up into many different parts. I don't drive a steering wheel. I drive a car that has a steering wheel. Those are all concepts. And throughout the Bible, we get this idea that there are individual things that are comprised of many parts. St. Augustine once said that the New Testament in the Old is concealed, hidden. But the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And what better place to start than the Book of Beginnings, Genesis? And if you really want to look at some of the characteristics of the Scriptures as a general rule, man once told me, look at where it's first found. Kind of give you an illustration. In Genesis chapter 22, we have Abraham and Isaac trudging up to Mount Moriah. God had said unto Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, in whom thou lovest, and offer him for a sacrifice on the place that I'm going to indicate. They're trudging up the mountain, and Isaac says, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. That is the first indication of what love really is. And throughout Scripture, if you want to know what agape love is, all you have to do is turn over to Genesis chapter 22. In the Hebrew, there's singular. That's much like what we have today. It's an interesting one in that in the Hebrew, there's a dual, meaning two. And there is the plural, which is three or more. It's interesting that, again, I found at least a couple of people who felt that this is the first indication of something called the Trinity. But let's look and see whether or not we can prove that. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Okay. "And in the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters," and the Spirit is capitalized. It's kind of interesting that in all the translations that I have, in every case, the S is capitalized. And without turning to it, we can look over at John chapter 1 and we can see how he was in the world and the world was made by him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him gave he the power or the right to become the children of God, even unto those that believe on his name. God the Father, God the Spirit, and now we see God the Son. Though God deals in ones, God intended that his and he alone would be the one to whom people would worship, honor, and glorify. But yet man in his failure throughout history has, you might say, destroyed that concept so that we no longer have ones, even though that was what it was originally intended. We have Abram's name being changed from Abram to Abraham. Abram being father of an exalted father to Abraham, which is a father of many nations. We have Jacob. His original name was supplanter, or I think that's probably the best word. And yet his name is Israel, changed, and the tribe of Israel, 12. But you know something, whenever we look at that, we think of the various concepts. We can even think of marriage for this reason. Shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So we see that there are many illustrations, and these are just a few. But now we're going to go over and turn to the New Testament. We're going to look at some things that I think are kind of, I trust that they're not hard to understand, but I'd like you to look at Elohim and think of all the words in which you have EL as a part of a name or a place. Last week we talked about another name for Jesus, which is Emmanuel, God with us. We have El Shaddai, Elohim. And we can go on and on about how EL, the person of God, shorted from EL, or EL is shortened for Elohim. But you know, there's a relationship to this uniplurality, and that is that whenever we come together as a body of believers, what was God's original intention? When we read that in the world, that Christ was in the world, his desire was to make all things one. If we could, let's turn over to John 17. Starting with verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, God's purposes are such that, you know, Christ lays it out from the very beginning. But man, in his lack of wisdom, I'm trying to think, it's been quite a while, but just in the United States alone, there are over 10,000 registered churches of different names under different titles and under different doctrines. So that kind of gives you an idea of how badly the body of Christ, which is what we're going to try to get to, has been destroyed. But having said that, let's turn over to Galatians 3. Starting with verse 26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise. God's original desire, again, you know, that middle wall of partition that we often have heard about, is nothing more than the breaking down of the various barriers, whether it be the veil of the temple, which was rent in twain, or whether it's the uniting of Jew and Gentile so that now we have one and it's called the church. Now, I'm not going to even begin to suggest that the church has replaced the Jewish people. No. But God wants to unite us all under the one person, God's beloved Son. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. Starting with verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then he goes on to tell about the various parts of the body, and yet neither one of them is superfluous, not needed. They're all necessary. but they're not the only part of the body. And Christ is the head over every member of the body. But again, we have to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting with verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, and this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know, each one of us have to come to that conclusion, and that hopefully that idea and concept that what God had planned and what man has made have been two different animals. Turn over to Romans 12. Starting with verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace which has been given to us, whether by prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it simply. He that ruleth with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. A little bit of history. When I was in college, I think I went to no less than four different churches, all because each one had a failure of whatever, but then somehow or another, surprisingly, through my wife, I learned that there's such a thing as the one body of Christ. And you and I, when we come together on Lord's Day, we mentioned this last week, and that is that when we break the bread, what do we hear? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting with verse 16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Do you realize that every member of the body of Christ, regardless of whatever external name they have, all belong with head. Christ is the head. He is the head of the body. And wonder of wonders, you and I, just the same as they, are all members of the body of Christ. Now you and I have come to wonder and be thankful for the fact that we have this most wonderful salvation, a salvation that's in none other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. And who is that? Jesus Christ. And so here we are doing the one thing that I hope is something that we treasure, and that is that when we come together, I don't know, I look out over here, and certainly there's not a lot of us here, but I look at the gifts, the talents, the abilities. I look at the various characteristics. I look at how you respond and how you react to each other, and I keep thinking, what we just sang is something for which I hope we all take to heart. And that is, we're going to work together. We're going to come together. We're going to support one another. And we're going to come together with the sole purpose of giving honor, glory, and praise to our head, who is Jesus Christ. I hate to say it, but I've been reading through a book of the history of the church. And there was a time in which the church was one. But I'm sad to say I'm at that Reformation time when the Roman Catholic Church attempted to make one by the point of a sword. And we can think of many of the martyrs who have gone before us that suffered because of that particular persecution. But let's transform that to, I don't know, maybe tonight. You and I might be ushered into the one place in which God has prepared for us. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ has made a provision for us, a provision not only for the various needs and cares that we have down here, but I hope we all remember that there is something that's yet coming, that's yet maybe a little bit future, and we're not sure exactly what that time is going to be. But the one thing that we do know is that it is prepared and ready. And at any time, we could hear the shout. Will there be Baptists in heaven? Sure. How about the rest of us? I'm sure. But the point is that there's going to be no distinction. Are you Christ? Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you believe that He is God's only begotten Son? Do you believe that He died on the cross and shed His blood, that your sins, so great and so many, have been washed away? And that unity will be restored. That unity which was from the very beginning, that unity which is He so often desired, but man has failed. But I'm thankful for a lot of things, and one of the things I do remember is that an old man once said that God in every dispensation has made provisions to restore communion and fellowship with Himself. And you know, one of the verses that so struck me, and we've had it two or three times in the past several weeks, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken us unto us by his Son, in whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm just going to close with saying that, you know, every once in a while I talk to somebody who we talk about heaven, and he says, yeah, I'm going to be really glad because, you know, I hurt, I don't feel good. You know, I've got all these diseases and I've got family problems and my kids are all gone ski wad and everything's gone to pot. And I said, well, what do you have to be thankful for? And he says, well, I'll be in heaven. But it'll be without those. And then somehow or another, we got to the point where we said, you know, the reason why I want to be in heaven is to be with the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's that I close, hoping that somehow or another, when we come together, we look at each other as being members of the body of Christ, dearly beloved, and that the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that we have are not just our own, but it's something for which we come alongside each other and we honor Christ in whatever gift, talent, or ability that we have. That our nature, that our character, that our attitudes, that are going to be something for which others will see Christ in us. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is Christ. And how wonderful it is to know that we are God's representatives to a lost world. We have the most wonderful thing in the name of Jesus Christ in which to proclaim to this world, and our lives should reflect it. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Not just our love for each other, but for the love of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have to open up a Bible. Each one of us has one in our hand, a privilege, and that many in this world, even if they're Christians, don't have a Bible. And yet we pray, Father, that we would treasure this book and we'd treasure the one who it represents. Thank you so much, Father, for sending your Son. And as we go from this place tonight, beginning of this year, we pray that our lives would be such a testimony that others would see Christ in us. And so we commit our time of prayer to you as well. There are many cares and concerns. And yet, Father, you're greater than all of them. And we thank you in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.